Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning. Normally Thursdays at 7 o'clock, we're joined by our good friend Jared Stillman. A little bit of a different change of pace this week. Today is Friday, and Jared is with us here at 7 o'clock. Jared, good morning. I know that for somebody as esteemed as yourself, you've already put the victory against Joe in Jared versus Joe in the rearview mirror. You're back in the film room preparing for next week's matchup. But congrats once again on the victory against Joe Rex Road this week.
I completely forgot about what happened on Jared versus Joe. I don't know if you heard me and Hal Gill arguing yesterday, but Hal said that I had convinced myself that Tom Brady was coming to the Titans. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm trying not to get my hopes up over here. What do you mean I've convinced myself? And he was like, yesterday in Jared versus Joe. And I was like, you're right. I did say that. So, I mean, obviously, I don't look, you know, in the rear view. I'm always looking forward.
That's right.
But, yes, no, very, very excited for the quarterback drama that Joe doesn't want to admit that we have.
Well, before we get to Tom Brady, because we're going to get to that discussion, no question about it, I heard, and Rex Road has made me aware of some audio yesterday of perhaps a little accusation you've leveled his way of signing people's names, signing your name on the text line, maybe misrepresenting you. Your thoughts?
I think that Joe is, I don't think plagiarism is the right word, but I do think that for a big J, capital J, journalist like Joe is, to be signing my name on the text line is reprehensible. I mean, I think that, like, if this were the NCAA, like, he'd have to sit out some games. It's like back in the day when they couldn't pay the players and somebody would get a haircut for free, and it's like you got to sit out a couple of games for that. I mean, for Joe to sign my name, that's forgery is what that is. It's fraud. And so, you know, I'm going to let this slide because I'm a good guy, but next time I may have to take it to the authorities.
So I don't like to relay conversations that we have off air too often, but I'd just like to say, Jared, that when I played that out loud, Robbie was like, is he really that dumb? But you are joking, right, Jared? Like, you are joking? Because obviously
yes.
I was joking. Okay. Thank
yes,
God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank God.
I don't
know.
I was being serious?
Dude, listen.
Getting the authorities involved?
Well, not the authorities, but like with some of your takes. I mean, I don't know. I'm like, does he actually think that I'm like trying to be him? Like Jared was just gets on the text line at 6:30 in the morning.
I don't know.
Yes, the cap is fake.
The cap
is fake.
I don't
know, man. Yes. Well, of course. We can all agree on that.
Does the cap spending? No, it does not. It's fake.
Oh, so now you've had to put a little like slogan on it because
it just makes
okay.
It simpler.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If the cap was real, then it would cap spending, but it doesn't.
Okay.
So, Jared, we had Charles Robinson on our show yesterday, and he talked about the options for Tom Brady as he continues to make whatever decision he's going to make. He kind of joked about how it may be a little quieter this year, may not even tell his dad what's going on given what happened a year ago. But also
I didn't think he was joking when he said that.
I don't think he's joking either. But also pointed out that, you know, maybe the options – are going to be limited for Tom Brady as he enters into free agency this offseason. So with that being said, based on everything we know about Tom Brady and his decision to this point, your percentage chance that the Titans, number one, could get involved, and number two, could actually land Tom Brady as their starting quarterback next year?
Boy, that's tough. So I think they're out. I think the Titans are out on the Rodgers sweepstakes simply because they don't want to pay him $60 million. I mean, I think that, you know, the idea of the picks – and $60 million the Jets are gung-ho for, I don't think the Titans are. I think the Titans are out of the Rodgers mix. I don't think the Titans are going to be in on Lamar Jackson, and I don't want to be in on Lamar Jackson. So I think they're out there. So I think it really means that it's now between Tannehill, Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, and TD was, like, offended when I said that Baker Mayfield was a part of that group yesterday. But I'm going to put Baker in there because I think he's going to start in the league next year. And did I say Jimmy G?
Yeah.
Jimmy. So I think it's like between those guys. And I'm going to say 51% Brady. I'm going to say 51% Brady. That's where I'm going to go.
How exciting. So, yeah, actually, I'm with TD. I mean, I don't think Baker. You think Baker's actually something that they seriously discuss here? I wouldn't think so.
I think he's on the list. I mean, I'm just talking about like actual options. Like, I do think Baker Mayfield's going to start at quarterback in the NFL next year, But no, I don't think they're considering it here. I don't think he and Vrabel would get along.
Well, I don't either. Garoppolo, Carr, Baker Mayfield, I don't think those – I mean, look, I think Tom Brady is a more likely possibility than them. So I think the biggest thing here, in all seriousness, I'm not just – I mean, I think it's hilarious that you actually think it's most likely that it's Brady. I think that's awesomely hilarious. But I'm also not sitting here saying no chance. But my – so a big point that you've made, and I haven't been able to find this. You said Rick Stroud reported that he's the one who reported that he would not move out west?
Yeah, he tweeted out that Brady, because of his family life, is not – he does not see Brady moving out west.
Yeah, see, but here's the thing with Rick Stroud. You're right about Rick Stroud covering the Tampa Bay Bucks. He's done it forever there with Tampa Bay Times. I don't – like, we just talked about how Brady's not telling his dad anything, right? I don't think Rick Stroud has a direct line to Tom Brady's mind right now. I do not believe that. Now, he's covering that organization really good. But I think you're taking a little bit of a leap if you think Rick Stroud is getting, you know, regular updates from Brady on his mind. Because, look, if you're right, or if that idea is right, that he wouldn't want to go out there because of his kids, then that absolutely increases the Titans' chances. But like Robbie said the other day, so you're either in the same city with them, which would be either New York or Miami, or you're getting on a flight to see them, which means, okay, you're in Vegas, so it's another hour and a half on the plane.
Hour and a half.
Okay, 2 hours?
I mean, it's significant time. I mean, then you're talking about having to go back. So now you're talking about, you know, now it's 4 total hours.
You have 2 more kale shakes on your private plane as you go to see your kids. I mean, it's one. It's a football season. It's one football season. You know what I mean? So I think a little bit too much of being made of that. If you tell me the Raiders
it's not one football season, though. It's not like Brady shows up in August and then Brady leaves in January. I mean, it is, you know, if this is going to work, and this is the thing about Vrabel, is I don't think Vrabel's going to roll out the red carpet for Brady like the Broncos did last year for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are doing right now, and saying whatever you want, Aaron. I mean, I think if the Titans end up with Tom Brady, part of the deal between Brady and Vrabel is, dude, you got to be here for OTAs, because you've got to be able to hold guys accountable. You've got to forge the relationship with Treylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo and Derrick Henry and all these new guys. You've got to be here. So it really is, you know, more so a March to January kind of thing.
Okay, so it's 9 months.
If Brady's here.
So it's 9 months. I mean, like, that's, to me, if you're going to do this, and I do agree that if you're going to go ahead and just spike your marriage to keep playing football, you're probably going to keep playing football. But, I'm skeptical about the Raiders just being dismissed for that purpose.
So Fitz,
I mean, he wants to win. He's playing to win another ring, right? I mean, what else is he playing for?
I mean, I think he's playing to win another ring, but it didn't feel like, to me, that he was playing to win a ring with Tampa Bay when he joined them, and he did. I mean,
why?
So,
what do you mean?
Like, I felt like Brady went to Tampa Bay, and everybody thought, okay, well, now Tampa Bay is going to go from terrible to, decent, and they'll make the playoffs, and that'll be that. But I don't think anybody really considered Tampa Bay a Super Bowl contender when he joined. The revisionist
with those receivers
history,
and that defense?
Jameis
Winston threw 31 picks the year before. They had
a very
good roster.
I know.
Okay.
But, like, people did not consider Tampa Bay's defense good before Brady got there.
That's what people were saying. People were saying it. You always love talking about what people were saying.
I actually listened to an old Jared and the GM after the Titans beat the Buccaneers in 2019.
Of course you did.
You'll remember that Mike Vrabel called the stupidest fake punt of all. I mean,
oh,
fake
we remember.
Field goal of all time, in which Brett Kern literally might still be in the hospital for, and they would have lost the game if the referees didn't blow the whistle on it. And so in that game, I was listening to this old Jared and the GM podcast last year, and the best part is at the end, I'm like, hey, I know the stats say that they're terrible, but I actually think that Buccaneers defense is pretty good. And so the statistics were awful for the Buccaneers in the 2019 season. People, the revisionist history about what Tom Brady was joining, nobody considered the Buccaneers as a potential landing spot for Tom Brady. The only reason Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers is because nobody else wanted him. Miami didn't want him. The Raiders didn't want him. The Colts didn't want him. The Titans didn't want him. All these teams that he thought maybe he could go to. The 49ers didn't want him, and so nobody wanted him, and he ended up in Tampa, the one team that actually wanted him. And that's why I think the Titans have a good chance at Brady, because as Charles Robinson mentioned on your show yesterday, it's the same thing happening over again. All these teams don't want him, and so where's he going to go? And, I mean, I think that the Titans, if they legitimately want him, can build a plan around him and get him to want to come here.
Okay, is this true, Jared? JC in Goodlettsville sends me a tweet. He says, you deleted. You're out here deleting tweets. Do I have to unmute you? No, I'm not going to unmute you. But let me read this tweet.
Unless I put something like wrong, like I misspell something, I don't delete tweets.
January 22nd, 2023, 2:04 p.m. Quote from Jared. This is the kind of game where Joe Burrow's hand size actually matters. He'll have to throw it differently in the weather. I thought his first throw was an acknowledgement of that. End quote. You didn't delete that tweet?
I didn't delete that tweet.
Okay, JC?
Did you see the throw?
I'll answer JC as you. Don't worry.
Did you shut up, JC,
says Jared on the text line. What?
Thank you.
Did you see the air Joe Burrow put under the ball on Sunday?
Yes.
Joe Burrow, absolutely. Unlike Tannehill, Joe Burrow absolutely factored the weather into how he played.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about that.
I mean, what are we talking about? Joe Burrow's got baby hands.
It was actually an excellent tweet is what we're saying.
I mean, Joe Burrow's got baby hands. That's the one knock on him.
Jared,
other than that, Joe Burrow is just. I mean, he is John Elway. When I watch him play, oh my goodness gracious, I love Joe Burrow.
Look, all I know is if Brady gets the QB job here, yeah. Brady's the next QB. Do we let Jared go to the presser? Like, it might just be a little much, don't you think?
No,
hey,
we let
last
him go.
Last time I was at a Tom
crying?
Brady presser, it was all over Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. So I think it'd probably be good.
Right, but if he's the quarterback of the Titans, I think the emotion may be a little bit too much for you to contain.
I was actually thinking about this yesterday. Like, let's say Adam Schefter tweets out at 3:19 p.m., you know, Tom Brady and the Tennessee Titans are – because you know how this works, right? Like, Schefter tweets out at 3:19 that the Titans and Brady are closing in on a deal. And then at 3:21, the Titans announce that they've signed Tom Brady to be the quarterback. So let's say 3:19, Schefter tweets out, or, you know, it'd probably be Diana Russini because her, you know, she's got a direct line to Vrabel. So the Tennessee Titans are signing quarterback Tom Brady. The Titans are trading Ryan Tannehill to Tampa Bay in exchange for a fourth round pick or something like that. Let's say that happens at 3:00 in the afternoon. I may not be, like, I am not, I don't know what that's going to do to me emotionally on the air, how I'm going to be able to process that. Like, the two things that I think about of, like, you know, because I've been doing this long enough now to really be able to adjust to breaking news no matter what, is that, and, like, if the Predators just all of a sudden make, like, the massive house cleaning at one time, like, I don't know how I'll react to that.
I just want to point out, I'm pulling for Tom Brady of the Titans. I've thrown my hat in the ring. I'm pulling for Tom Brady of the Titans.
I mean, selfishly speaking, oh, God, it would be great for all of us.
Pulling for it. Jared, great stuff as always.
Joe, you might actually have to write a column on the Titans every now and then if Tom Brady were to show up.
That's a fair point. I don't work much. I do not have the work ethic of some.
I mean, it's not that you don't work. It's that you write columns on sports people don't care about.
That's a fair
point.
And
if Tom Brady was here, I know the people at The Athletic would be like, Joe, no more Lipscomb basketball takes. We need more Brady columns.
Finger on the pulse.
Jared, thank you as always.
Where's Rodgers going, Robbie?
Starting to think Jets. I think it may be real. Jordan Love, baby. Let's get after it. Jared, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
All right. Jared Stillman, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll react to what Jared had to say there, and we'll revisit some thoughts from Charles Robinson yesterday on the Tom Brady situation as well. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The NFL Conference Championships are this Sunday, and you can enjoy more thrills than a two-minute drill on FanDuel. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, because they're giving all customers a no-sweat same-game parlay. That means you'll get free bets back if your conference championship same-game parlay doesn't hit. Bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to which player will score a touchdown. Or if you can't decide, you can ride with thousands of other fans and bet popular same-game parlays already made for you. I'm going with the 49ers, and I'm going with Cincinnati, the two road teams this weekend. But you can take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to see for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook. And if you already have FanDuel, you can start building your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Three-plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max bonus of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me, you.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios on this Friday morning. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. Some fun times on the text line right now, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as there typically are. Been a good week on the text line. We
Jared,
appreciate everybody's participation.
Why don't you go do something, Jared? Why do you keep texting people on the text line, man? It's our show. Leave the people on the text line alone. Why do you have texting people in all caps? Weirdo.
615-737-1025. The Tom Brady situation, it's going to be interesting to watch unfold. I heard Jared kind of lay out his plan, if he were the Titans, of how he would, I guess, attract Tom Brady to come here, and the meeting that he would have, the steps that he would take to assure Tom Brady that they're trying to get to a Super Bowl. We had Charles Robinson on the show yesterday to discuss the Tom Brady situation. Here was his thoughts on where exactly the Titans could fit into the picture as it relates to Tom Brady.
Here's the thing about Brady. I'm curious what his options really are, because there's not, no matter what, there's not really great options on the table for him. So, okay, well, what are the external options? The Titans, obviously, on the list, the connection with Mike Vrabel. I think right now he's waiting to see how the rest of the playoffs shake out. I think he's waiting to see how some coaching staffs stack up going through the Senior Bowl. I do think that there's an element of just sort of seeing what happens with Sean Payton, but everyone continues to say, like, look, if he could go anywhere, it would be Miami. He still would love to play in Miami, live in Miami, be close to his kids. Yeah, look, would the Titans be on the list? Yeah, I think the Titans could be on the list, but I think part of that is Tom Brady's limited options.
So that was Charles Robinson yesterday on our show, and we talked about the limited options that he could have. I still think that there's going to be somebody, if he decides to play, that's going to put their name into the hat here that we're not thinking about right now. But my question to you, Joe, is did the way that Charles discussed the Brady situation influence at all the likelihood that you think the Titans could be involved with Tom Brady as they continue to move forward here? Or is it about the same thing it was before Charles's comments there?
No, I think it changed things. Look, Charles doesn't talk or write about anything in the NFL, you know, without, I mean, he doesn't just go on feeling, you know, he talks to a lot of people. So I take everything he, again, I think he's the best reporter covering the NFL, and I take everything that he says or writes, you know, seriously, because it's not just done on a whim. So I take it seriously. I still, again, you may be right, although we could probably go through all the teams, and there's, I don't know that there's too many other possibilities other than the ones we've all been throwing around. I mean, I guess, like, who, you know, the Vikings.
Oh, people are talking Atlanta now.
Atlanta. Yeah, I mean, but there's not a ton. I still have my, I still have that same question about, do we know for sure that you can rule out those teams farther away? Because, I mean, if he's limiting his own options, that's different than he doesn't have a lot of options, right? I mean, if he's going to keep playing, I mean, okay, then it's a little bit more of a pain to see your kids. If he's playing in Nashville, Tennessee, How much more is he seeing his kids than if he's playing in Las Vegas? It's a little bit more painful to do it. It's a little bit more airtime to do it.
Yep.
You can fly them to you here. You can fly them to you there and vice versa. Whenever you have a break, the off or idle week, both are acceptable. I just don't see. How is that if you're him and you're continuing to play at age 46 and you are all about finding another ring? How are you going to limit yourself for that? That doesn't add up to me. So I'm skeptical of that. If it's true, or if his options are truly as limited as Charles kind of laid out there, well, I mean, you have to take it seriously.
I think you have to take it seriously. What I wonder is how do the Dolphins feel about Tua, right? Because I do believe like there was obviously smoke with the Tom Brady, Stephen Ross, Dolphin stuff. His kids live there. Like, I do believe that if he could handpick his destination right now, it would be the Miami Dolphins. So does that influence the way the Dolphins operate at all? Like, are they committed to Tua? You know, what does Tua's playing future look like with, what do you have, 3 concussions this year? I mean, good gracious. What does that look like if you're the Dolphins moving forward with him? I mean, you've got Tyreek Hill. You've got Jalen Waddle. I like Mike McDaniel as coach. Their defense is okay. So do the Dolphins all of a sudden become a factor in this with Tua and kind of the questions that he's got moving forward? I don't know. Maybe they're committed to Tua, and maybe Tua's their guy, and they saw enough when Tua was healthy this year to think, okay, we think he can be something as they move forward here. But I believe if Tom Brady could handpick his destination, it would be the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. And this is where – speaking of Jared, you know, I've heard him some this week talking about this, and he's like, well, the Dolphins said they're sticking with Tua. So it's like, okay, so sometimes a team will say something, and then it's like, that's gospel.
Right.
And then sometimes, like, your team will say something, it's like, nah, let's pick this apart. That might be a bunch of coach pick. You know, yeah, I think that's a great point to bring up. I would not just put in stone what the Dolphins are doing. I do think Tua is really good, and I think – they could have something, but how are you not concerned about that right now? I mean, I don't know what more you can find out about that in the offseason.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
You know, I mean, other than, like, what he thinks, you know? I mean, if you're him, if you're his family, you got to start becoming concerned, right?
Well, you do, and there's also the football side of it, too. Like, if you're the Dolphins – how much longer is Tyreek Hill going to be Tyreek Hill, right? I mean, he's really good, but he's approaching 30. Like, how much longer is the speed that he brings to the table going to be at the same level it's at right now? And then, like, there's Brady's side of things, too. We've talked about it. There are problems anywhere you want to look. Like, the Titans have problems. If he decided to go to the Raiders, they have problems. The Falcons, which people are talking about now, they got all sorts of issues. Like, the Dolphins have problems. But the Dolphins also have 2 weapons in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle that the Titans just don't have. Like, and it's not like they're just going to get those guys this offseason. So the football part of it makes some sense, too, if that became open for Brady.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Brady, the idea of throwing to Waddle and Tyreek Hill next year, I mean, again, you're in the same city with your kids, and you're doing that, like you said. You've got, I think a good offensive mind there as a head coach.
Yeah,
good young team. That's got to be more. I mean, that's way more appealing to you than coming here. And I mean, again, you go to the Kentucky Derby with Mike Vrabel. You can catch up on
which
old
maybe
times,
they'll do this offseason.
Which they may do, and maybe they'll do, and they'll talk about the offense next year maybe with the Tennessee Titans.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on Tom Brady. We'll also get into the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett by the New York Jets to be their OC yesterday. Is that simply a ploy to bring Aaron Rodgers into the fold? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road at 7:45, which you can check out every day here on the program. And Rex Road's laughing, which is always dangerous, coming back in from break.
Yeah, I got to just get me off the text line.
Okay.
I'm only going to be texting in Jared from now on, at least for the rest of the day.
In all caps.
Yes.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Will from Brewston. Will, thanks for calling in.
Hey, yeah, I don't remember the exact game last season. I was watching Tampa Bay, and they were down in the fourth quarter, and it was getting late in the game, and they called timeout from the sideline, and I remember Brady waving them back and just having that real ugly, angry look on his face. So how does Vrabel respond to something like that? Y'all have a good day.
Hey, thanks for the call, Will. I mean, I have thought about that, like the dynamic of Brady and Vrabel together. Now, first off, I think it's important to point out, I mean, there's clearly a respect level that the two have for each other. Like, I mean, they're good friends, and I think that there would be a respect level. I also think that, you know, Brady and Vrabel are probably two guys that could handle, like, yelling at each other a little bit. So I'm not really that worried about it. But there's no question, like, coaching Tom Brady is different from coaching Josh Dobbs or even Ryan Tannehill. Like, coaching Tom Brady is a different thing. I mean, with the accomplishments that he's got, I would assume the freedom that he would want as the quarterback of the Titans, and there would probably be some run-ins at some point between Brady and Vrabel.
Think that Vrabel ever, like, stuff Brady in a locker in New
Maybe.
England? Yeah, I'm sure that would be the case, but I don't see how that's a problem. Especially if you have the actual foundation of a true friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we talk about Tom Brady wanting to go out to Vegas. I mean, that they had some explosive moments.
He and McDaniels? Oh, yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
They got in. He got each other's faces a lot.
Yeah, so that's the thing. If you've got the actual relationship, I mean, who doesn't have those conversations at home? I mean, I don't ever get mad or yelled at anybody personally. You know, I'm always the one who gets yelled at, but just saying, like, if you actually have a good relationship, then that stuff should be fine. Now, we'll make a big deal out of it, and so that complicates it and everything, but I don't think that's a problem. I think, well, it's just the bigger issue is, like, does Brady, to me, first of all, did the Titans want him? I mean, I don't know that, but also, does he want to come to this outfit?
Right. And, well, and is there, if you're Tom Brady, is there a reason beyond Mike Vrabel that you want to come here? Right. That's what it ultimately comes down to.
Like, and the defense would be, I think, a selling
the
point.
The defense would be a selling point. You've got Treylon Burks, who's a good young player. I mean, there's a way that you could talk through a plan of, all right, we're going to rebuild the offensive line. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to get you another weapon as a wide receiver, Chig Okonkwo. We like him. We think he could be a really good tight end. I mean, there's we've got Derrick Henry. Like, there's a way you could talk through, like, the offense
Craig
being
Aukerman.
Significantly. Yeah, Craig Aukerman's still on staff. Really appreciate him. There's a way you could talk through the offense if you're the Titans and try to sell it. Now, would he buy it? I don't know. But, I mean, there's a way you could talk it through to him if you really wanted to. We're going to do this, this, and this to improve the offense as we move forward here.
So it's a lot of talking.
It's a lot of talking.
But you can do it. Yeah, that's a lot. And I think the biggest concern – well, two things. I mean, the two biggest concerns, they directly affect him, right? Because Brady's playing for a ring, but also I think Brady probably doesn't want to go and have some terrible final season where he actually looks his age. And if you do not have a significantly upgraded offensive line here, that's a distinct possibility. And, again, it's just – he's been throwing to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and, well, Julio Jones a little bit actually this year. But, I mean, Miller, I mean, he's, you know, Gronk.
Russell Gage, yep.
Right. And he's looking at, like we just talked about, you got Devontae Adams over there, you got Hill and Waddle over here. Hey, Treylon Burks might be good someday. Yeah. I know he loves Vrabel and all, but we'll get you another weapon. But, again, the question is who? It's just not a great year on either front, free agency or draft. So you can try to trade for somebody.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that if you're Brady, examining these teams closely, as he is no doubt doing, that are going to be red flags for him, I would think.
Alex from Montreal says, think about how cool Vrabel would sound. Then there's Maddie on the text line.
Brady?
Said, did you say Vrabel? That may be their bro marriage name, I guess. Brable.
Is Brable or Vrady better?
Well, I kind of like Vrady.
I like Vrady.
I like Vrady.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to text you back in Jared, all caps. It's like Brady Hoke. I really think I can be your football coach.
God, I forgot about that. That was so awesome. Oh, shout out to Brady Hoke there on the program. And then there's the New York Jets, Joe. And they have hired Nathaniel Hackett to be their offensive coordinator, which a lot of people are saying, oh, man, they're making a push to go get Rodgers. They want Hackett as the OC. They're going to make a trade for Rodgers. Now, look, I think he's a good offensive coordinator. From everything coming out of Green Bay, he had a lot to do with their red zone success a couple of years ago, game plan, all that stuff. Now, as I pointed out earlier, he didn't call plays. So there is that you have to factor in as you move forward. But Nathaniel Hackett goes from head coach of the Denver Broncos, didn't make it a full season, now the OC in New York. Do you think this is a ploy by the Jets to set themselves up for maybe a potential trade partner to go get Aaron Rodgers? And if you're the Jets, I think everybody would agree they need an upgraded quarterback. What would you rather do if you're a Jets fan? Would you rather trade to go get Rodgers and pay probably at least one first-round pick and the price that Rodgers has attached to him, which is nearly $60 million for next year? Now, maybe that gets reworked, but we'll see. Or would you rather just say, you know what? We're going to make a pitch for Tom Brady in free agency. Which one would you rather do if you're the Jets?
I would want Rodgers. I mean, at this point, I would prefer.
Even with all the price you'd have to give up.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's going for it. If you're going for it, and I understand the difference in rings and all that stuff. I think right now the difference in deterioration of human body, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady. So Connor Hughes, friend of the show, I believe.
Yes.
I used to work with him at The Athletic. He now works for SNY-TV covering the Jets and Giants. This is his tweet. Quote, Nathaniel Hackett could be sitting on a beach collecting millions for the next 4 years. You telling me he signed on for the pressure of being New York's OC without knowing damn well who his QB is? He'd be a fool to risk further tarnishing his rep to coach Wilson, Tannehill, or Jimmy G, end quote. Suggesting that, there's a lot. He went on a tweet storm yesterday that essentially he believes that Hackett only did this because this is happening. I don't know I don't know how you could have assurances of that, right? And again, let's remember last year when the initial Broncos, I mean, it was, oh, now we know where Aaron's going to be, right?
Right. Look, Aaron Rodgers really likes Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, he's made that clear. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is choosing, like, the destination of where he plays based on where Nathaniel Hackett is. I think we learned that last year, right?
Nathaniel! Yeah. Here's another Connor Hughes tweet. Quote, Jets first linked to Hackett after LaFleur's parting didn't seem smart after what happened in Denver. I dug some on that. Dysfunctional doesn't begin to describe Broncos. It had nothing to do with the head coach. This is a very good hire. If it means Aaron Rodgers, incredible, end quote. So nothing's on Hackett.
I can't get to the nothing being on Hackett. I'm not saying that there wasn't dysfunction in Denver. I have no idea. I can't get to nothing being on Hackett. I mean, you wanted to fire him after the first game.
I mean, what he had did to the clock in the first game of his coaching tenure was like when I stepped on my Swatch in 1985 and destroyed it. that alone was fireable.
I know. You came and fired him the next day.
I did. Show. Yeah, that was my rant, right? Like, you have to fire him right now. And I wasn't too far off.
No, you weren't. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. I know there's going to be – I mean, I would imagine – I mean, look, if you're the Packers – and you're trading Aaron Rodgers, you can't really do anything for the next little while here. And free agency doesn't begin for another couple of months. So buckle up for Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers gate throughout the rest of this NFL offseason. It's going to be fun.
What is this league? I mean, I shouldn't say this. I was going to say, what is this league going to do when these guys finally retire? But it'll just be new names.
Oh, yeah.
The quarterback soap opera now that the NFL's created, it's like you already dominated the offseason enough, but look at this.
Pretty amazing. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Would like a world of change. It helps me to appreciate.
And it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road here on the program. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rex Road with Creed in the background. I turn things over to you.
I think what I should do is just read all my all caps texts that are supposed to be by Jared in a row here. I'm smacking people with my big hands and...
Well, thanks to you, I found the Brady Hoke all capitalized text to John Curry. John, I hope you do know I would like to be your head football coach. I do know the environment we live in and what needs to be done at Tennessee. End quote. All capital text.
And you read it correctly.
Yeah.
Because there's no punctuation.
No punctuation. No punctuation at all.
Also got Jared yelling here.
I'm surprised he didn't get hired.
I mean, I tell you what, man. Just keep at it, Brady. Keep at it. Where is Brady Hoke?
I have no idea.
I think someone's O-line coach, maybe?
Maybe. Let me double check.
Also have Jared on the text line in all caps denying that he watches a certain show with the second word manner.
Yes.
So, good times. But what I'm going to do is, I guess I'm going to read one of my old columns. You know, it's like reliving the glory days.
By the way, head coach at San Diego State.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm stupid. Yeah, that's right. He went back full circle. So it's where he was when he got the Michigan job, full circle. Congrats, Brady. Congrats, Brady! But this whole Gino Auriemma thing last night with his little whiny, is it when you come down here? It got me all mad again. Again, Gino Auriemma is someone I obviously respect as a coach. I think we all should respect him as a coach. He's a great coach. And I think he's been a great ambassador for a sport I love, women's basketball. And so, you know, I appreciate that. But I got to say, this still pisses me off. And last night triggered me again. And I think I might make this an annual thing on this show, which will be tough as we move forward because Chase is going to cut us down to 9 minutes a day. And I'm going to have to be shorter with it. However, I went back and revisited a column from August 4th, 2016 I wrote for the Tennessean because I was actually like flying down to Rio de Janeiro to cover the Olympics. I actually was like we had just found out that the committee, the committee, okay, that puts together the Olympic team had left Candace Parker off the roster.
Yep.
And when that happened, you know, immediately it became a Tennessee-UConn thing, but what it was a personal thing. Gino Auriemma doesn't like Candace Parker, or didn't like her then, okay? It was purely a personal thing. And yet, what they did is they said that he did not, so I'm going to read this. In fact, I'm just going to read it, okay? Quote, why is Candace Parker not on this team? That's what I asked Gino Auriemma, right after I got there, because they had a big press conference. He said, this is his quote, because I guess the committee looked at this team right here and said, we don't know who to take off. Okay. This is a 5-person selection committee.
Yes.
Okay. So then my question was, you had no input on that? He said, I don't get a vote. So then I said, so you were surprised then that she was left off the roster? Here's his quote. I mean, yes and no, I guess. You know, I was surprised by some of the selections in 2012 that I didn't expect. So in the end, we've got the team that's sent here to win the gold medal, and that's what matters, end quote. He obviously – okay, no, here we go. And then I asked – and this is like this press conference, by the way, where it's like, yay, the team, and it's like they're all there. And again, it's like it sucks that it had to be – like this had to be part of it because it should have been just like a celebration of this team and like a – just a normal press conference.
Rex was bringing the noise to that press conference.
He had no idea who I was, and he was just like, who the hell is this jackass? So I said, so what is it like to coach a team that's chosen by others? He said, quote, well, I mean, I think you get an opinion. But in the end, they close the door and they make the decision. Uh-huh. So you do get an opinion, Gino. All right. There you go. Right there for you. Just utterly ridiculous. And again, you have to go back to 2016. They were going to win the gold either way, okay?
Yes.
Candace Parker was 30. She was averaging 16-4, 7-1, and 5-1. 16.4 points, 7.1 rebounds, 5.1 assists a game for the LA Sparks. She was at the top of her game. And you know, Brianna Stewart, sorry, it was like probably the replacement, who's a UConn player. There were five UConn players. Tamika Catchings was the only Tennessee player. But it's not that. It's not UConn, Tennessee. He had a personal problem with someone, so he denied basketball fans, again, one of two people that everybody wanted to see then, which was Parker and Taurasi.
Correct.
And Bird, great too. But honestly, those are the two biggest draws. We already knew the outcome of the tournament, and Gino Auriemma, because he doesn't like someone, decided to leave her off the Olympic team. And then, like a coward, hide behind this freaking committee and try to say that they're the ones, oh, I had no idea. Oh, my goodness. What happened here? Just utterly pathetic. And it's a story that I will continue to tell my grandkids. They won't want to hear it, but I'm going to tell it to them because it's ridiculous and it needs to be said. So there you go. An annual rant about Gino Auriemma.
Well, I don't know that we've ever gotten the behind-the-scenes detail on the questions that you asked and the capital J journalism work that took place. Ooh. To really pin Gino Auriemma down. Well done, Rex Road.
I got to say.
This is not going to be a celebratory press conference. We're getting after the issues here.
I mean, this is kind of a humble brag, right? Like, I'm ranting about Gino Auriemma, but I'm kind of, like, proud of myself for the questions I asked and the column I wrote. I'm, like, I'm reading this column, and I'm, like, reliving it. Like,
I got him.
Let me read the close of the column since we're just, you know, we're living the glory days.
Let's do it.
So I went to Tamika Catchings and I asked her if this was tough for her that Candace was left off. You know, it's a tough question because she's sitting there and she's playing for Gino and they're playing for a gold. They're going to win the gold. They won the gold. Okay, this is her quote. This is the end of the column. Quote, yeah, Catchings said, then paused and repeated, yeah, and I was hurt by it. But of course it's different. It's not actually me going through it. But Candace has always been classy. So I'm proud of her and the way she handled it, not making it a big deal, end quote. And then this is the last line of the column. This is, after all, Team USA. It is bigger than one person. Someone should tell the coach.
Oh!
Oh man. Have some of that, man. Gino.
Nailed it.
Yeah, so this has been one big humble brag, reliving a column from 7 years ago. But seriously, I'm still mad about it. There you go. There you go. I mean, like, everybody should still be mad about this because it's pathetic. To do this, to make it really about you and to have a personal hang-up with someone, rob other people of joy.
Well, and look, Gino Auriemma, like I said earlier, obviously, great coach. Great basketball coach. We all know the type of coach that he is. You wouldn't be able to be as good of a coach as he is if you aren't able to connect with people on some level. So it's not like he's just some permanent jerk running around all the time. But, man, outwardly sometimes he seems like he's such an unlikable person. He really does.
Well, and, you know, Pat Summitt and Gino, eventually it got bad. And I think that's his fault.
I would say so.
From my understanding.
I would say so. So, you know, now the other side of this is they played last night. And at halftime, what was it, 40-36? You're like, huh, okay. And then it got away from Tennessee a little bit later.
Yeah. I mean, they're not ranked. You know, they're banged up. They don't have – you know, their post, and UConn is banged up too, to be fair, but they're just a much better team right now. So, yeah, they hung in for a while, and then it kind of got away from them. So
could we be getting close to maybe a revisiting of this with you and Gino Auriemma? You go find a press conference at some point, and I want to talk about Candace Parker.
No, but he did come here for Vandy UConn a few years ago,
yes.
And I wrote another because, and then he like ripped. He was ripping the culture at Tennessee because they had Avina Westbrook transferred to him, and so I did get a chance to rip him then. So hopefully we will have a chance to come back soon, Gino.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, some decisions that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have to make this offseason, and we'll get his opinion on the Tom Brady situation as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.